truly grateful for this opportunity to stand and share God's word with you. Indeed, we are thankful to God for this moment when we can once again reflect on His word. My prayer this morning is that the Lord will speak to us, and especially to that soul, that person who is not a Christian. I know by now some of us are even thinking John chapter 19 and verse 30 is sounding like a broken record to us, but indeed, with God's word, we cannot take it like that. I therefore invite you to turn with me to John chapter 19 as we consider together verse 30. But for the sake of understanding a few things before the verse that we are considering, we'll read from verse 28. We do not have enough time to read a bigger portion of it, and this is why I just invite us to read from verse 28 of John chapter 19. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it on his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. For the past 3 weeks or 2 weeks, we have been looking at these important words found in verse 30. "It is finished." And just to give us a few more details concerning what is happening, and this will be somewhat a summary of chapter 19. We see here that Pilate recognizes Jesus' innocence, but he fears the mob that was assembled by the Jewish leaders. Having this at the back of his mind, that Jesus was innocent, he still went ahead to do these things. So he attempts to satisfy them by having Jesus viciously whipped and mocked. This only results in more cries for Jesus' life. And they claim and they shout that Jesus needs to be crucified. He needs to die because of being king of the Jews. John, being directly present at that time, records these things for us until the Lord Jesus Christ is executed. We also see in chapter 19 that this is the fulfillment of several prophecies about our Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, the Lord in chapter 19, he is confirmed dead, just like they wished him dead, just like they wanted him dead. And after that, his body is taken by two friendly members of the ruling council. They hastily bury him in a borrowed tomb, so to speak, for a rich man. And this is what is happening in chapter 19. We have the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were. But before the Lord Jesus Christ died, as we were reminded last week, we have the seven sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ, the seven sayings on the cross. And one of the sayings we see is in verse 30, it is finished. And this is saying number 6. Just before the Lord dies on the cross. Beloved, this morning we reflect on it is finished. As we reflect on these words and try to answer this question, what did Jesus mean by it is finished? We must again be reminded of the following, that the words it is finished were the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they were quoted as the Lord Jesus Christ uttered them. There is a saying in Latin, ipsissima verba, the very words of a person being quoted. And this is what we see in it is finished. Therefore, we are simply saying, believe it that the Lord said it. It is not just reported and people are not sure that he said these words. He uttered them. They came from his mouth. It is finished. Again, referring to what our brother Pastor Kombe said, these words, it is finished, in Greek, it is tetestelai. These words, and this word in Greek, was uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ when he was fully aware of what he was saying. In other words, we are saying tetestelai was the deliberate utterance of a clear consciousness that his work had been finished. It was a clear utterance to show us that all of God's purpose for mankind had been accomplished. That what he was sent to come and do here on earth was finished. It was completed. And this was to redeem man. Therefore, beloved, tetestelai, which is it is finished, means it has been completed. It means not just that it has been completed, it has been completed and will remain completed, signifying that there will be nothing to add to it and there will be nothing to subtract from it. It is completed. The word completed gives us a slight variation in understanding what it is finished means. Oh yes, when we say something is finished, we just think about it as coming to an end and we continue with our business. And when we think about it being completed, it gives us an understanding that there was careful thought, there was planning as it were. Tetestelai is a very expressive word. And it is filled with meaning. In fact, this word was used in many areas of society then, and some of which we see here. When a servant had done his work, so this servant used it when the task had been completed. And you can imagine you give the servant this particular task, and when they come back to you, they come and say, tetestelai, it is finished. A priest used it for a sacrificial ceremony. And so we are saying a priest used this word when a sacrificial animal was found to be worthy. Remember those days, the way they used to worship, they used to sacrifice animals, and they were to give animals or to sacrifice animals that were not blemishing kind. So when the priest comes and he finds that this particular animal is worthy of sacrifice, he will use this word tetelestai, as it were. A farmer, we see that in that kind of society then, also used this word. Used it when a perfect specimen had been born into the flock. This is a perfect animal. Therefore, they said, tetelestai. We see also an artist used this word when the final touches had been applied to a masterpiece. So this artist who is making this masterpiece, when he has done everything and when he has made the final touches to this masterpiece, he will also say the same. It is completed. He is satisfied with what he has done. We also see yet another example that in this society, a merchant used this word when a deal had been struck and all the haggling had ended. And in this particular context, its usage meant that both parties were satisfied. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ proclaiming, "It is finished." He used words that were common to the onlookers. He used this word which was not a strange thing to these people. He used a word that had meaning and they could relate to the same. And indeed, these are the principles of preachers. They must be relevant. They must preach what people can relate to, as it were. Beloved, this word is rich in meaning. But we must hurry on and come to the main consideration of our sermon this morning. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," what did he mean? In one statement, it means that the Lord had completed the work of redemption. In one statement, it means that the Lord had completed the work of coming to redeem you and me. Those of us who were lost, those of us who were actually facing death and on our path to destruction, those of us who can say whose lives were in the jaws of death and sin, those who were in danger, he is simply saying his work of redeeming you is finished. But I must hurry on and talk about what he doesn't mean. Jesus Christ in saying it is finished doesn't mean that he is done. It's like when we are caught in our misdeeds and then there is no hope and then we know life is going to be difficult and then we know we were wrong and then we see that there is no life, there is no hope whatsoever and we are going to say, "It is finished. I am finished." Like some of the people even say, when something is said and it's really astonishing, that's all finished. No hope. That's not what Christ meant. It was not the gasp of a worn-out life. This wasn't a despairing cry of a helpless martyr. It wasn't an expression of satisfaction. that the termination of his suffering was now reached. This statement was made in reference to his work of redemption. When Pastor handled this topic, he said the very word, it, means that there was something to be done, that there was something that he had completed, and this is the work of redemption. And I must emphasize, beloved brethren, beloved church, that when Christ says it is finished, he is simply referring to the work of redemption. I therefore want to suggest three things this morning that Christ meant when he said it is finished. One, he meant that the plan of redemption was finished. Secondly, he meant that the pain of redemption was finished. And thirdly, the payment of redemption was finished. Plan, pain, payment. We start with the first one. The plan of redemption was finished. The goal and then the main reason of Christ coming to this earth was to come and seek the lost. His main aim was to come and draw men who had gone away, gone astray to himself. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ spent time eating, interacting with those who were regarded unholy. Harlots, tax collectors, the condemned, name them. He came for them. He came to redeem them. He came to die for them. He came to suffer for them. And so, the plan of redemption was finished. What is to plan? What is a plan? It is a detailed proposal for doing or achieving something. It could also be defined as an intention or decision about what one is going to do. So there is detailed proposal about how one is going to achieve something. There is also intention. Therefore, when we talk about the plan of redemption, we are simply saying that God had a detailed plan of how he was going to redeem man, how he was going to bring him back to himself. And this is a detailed plan that we see in the Bible. And the detailed plan is that he was going to send his son into this world, and that he was going to die on the cross. And that was the plan. But before he comes into this world, as we shall see later on, there are certain things that are also included in that plan. God had a plan to redeem human beings. God was not caught unawares by the fall of man. And therefore we say, as we think about the plan of redemption was finished, we know that this was an old plan. And I use the word old just for us to know that it is something that was planned way back. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Here we see that this plan is indeed from old. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. The Bible reads, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life, and of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There is this slaying from the foundation of the world, meaning way, way, way back, this was God's plan, that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be slain. And this plan is an odd plan. When Jesus reached the end of his ministry on the cross, he was finishing a work that had begun before the world was ever formed. From the beginning of time, God had always planned to send his son to die for sinners. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. This was his promise to Adam. This was portrayed in the offerings and sacrifices of the tabernacle and temple. Everything God did pointed to this day when the Lord Jesus Christ would die on the cross. So the Lord Jesus Christ, finding himself on the cross, he is simply fulfilling the plan, as it were, which the Lord Jesus Christ, or which God rather, had planned way back. Not only do we see that this is an odd plan, it was also an open plan. Open in the sense that God did not hide his plan. God made sure his people saw and knew what the plan was and what he was intending to do in saving this man that he had created. Since the dawn when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, and God, we see there, killed an animal to cover their nakedness, Genesis 3:2. God is open about what he is doing. God is open about the plan to redeem humankind, to redeem man, as it were. We see that death, suffering, and bloodshed were always part of mankind's coming to the Lord. The Lord had designed it that way. It was a plan that he laid down for man to follow. Redeeming man started way back, and God made this plan open. We see in Genesis chapter 4, when Abel brought a lamb to be offered, we find it in Genesis chapter 8, when Noah offered a sacrifice after the blood. We see it in Exodus and chapter 12, when the children of Israel killed the Passover lamb on the eve of the Exodus. We see it on the Day of Atonement, when the lambs were killed to make atonement for the people. And so, beloved friends, this is an open plan. And not only do we see that it is an open plan, it is an ongoing plan. So, what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing on the cross is not coming from nowhere. It was a progressive plan. And this is why I mentioned some of these things we see in Genesis, beginning with chapter 4. Chapter 8 in Exodus, that there was a progression of events. And again, I do refer to what was said while someone was preaching here, and to be precise, Pastor, where he was now talking about this particular aspect of Christ fulfilling the plan. Something that was started. Progressive it was in nature. While the Old Testament sacrifices did not do everything to remove the sins of the people, the death of Christ on the cross did everything to deal with the sin forever. Indeed, progressive up to the cross. Beloved, Christ's death ended all types and shadows. And as we seek to apply this, we do realize that indeed God had a plan for you and me. God had a plan for those who had sinned against him. God had a plan for man who was rebellious. God did not just sit and look at us and look at human beings to go and perish. He had a plan, knowing fully man is going to sin. He devised a plan to redeem him. This was a plan for you. A plan to save you from death. A plan to save you from going to hell. A plan to save you from the power of sin and death. Having seen that what he means here is that the plan of redemption was finished, in the second place, we see that he also means that the pain of redemption was finished. The pain of redemption was finished. When he utters these words, "It is finished," we see what follows there is that he gives up the spirit. In other words, he dies. And we know that when a body is there without life, there is no pain. When the soul departs a body, there is no more pain. And these are some of the words of comfort that we even preach to those who have been living with pain, even to those who die, and we say to those remaining, he is no longer in pain. He is free from the troubles of this world. Beloved, he simply meant the pain of redemption was finished. This now gives us something to think about. And it is to say that redemption was painful. Redemption was not a simple thing. Even in some of the movies that you see, when there is something to do with a ransom to be paid or to go and redeem something, in those action movies, we know that people who are going to rescue people, they have to brace themselves, they have to carry the necessary weapons, they have to be in good health, they have to make sure they are powerful enough to go and rescue that. And sometimes it is painful to do that. Well, for the Lord Jesus Christ, it was painful. It is not just painful in terms of the physical aspect. It was painful both physically and in the mental sense. It was painful. He experienced both pain at the same time, mental or emotional pain and physical pain. What we see here, as he claims and as he shouts and as he says it is finished, he is simply saying the pain of redemption is over. Beloved, the death of Christ on the cross was one of absolute torture. It was a death that was painful. We see that he suffered both emotionally and physically because of the following verses. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 26, we see that he was scourged. And this means to inflict pain or punishment on someone. And this inflicting of punishment was a physical thing. We also see from Luke chapter 22, verse 63 and 64, that he was beaten, physically beaten. We see from Matthew 27 and verse 30 that he was spit upon. And this could be emotional. You know how it is when someone spits on you? And I don't mean when a preacher is preaching or someone is talking, your teacher is talking and is spitting. I mean spitting and poo with an intention, with this thing in their mind to show you that you are nothing. They spit upon him. It was emotional. They mocked him. Matthew 27:26-29. They mocked him. It was emotional also. They nailed him to the cross. Matthew 27:38. He was stripped naked. Matthew 27:35. And how can you just imagine yourself being stricken naked? And I know some of us will think about these things. For instance, in this present time when we've got virtual meetings and there is a virtual meeting, important people, and you appear in a pajama without knowing that your camera is on Zoom, and you know what is going to happen. You don't want to come to church anymore. It is embarrassing. People have seen you in pajamas. It is so embarrassing. That is not even the kind of thing we are talking about. A little bit deeper and real. Stricken naked or stripped naked. This was his suffering. This was his pain. They also plucked beards from his face, according to Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6. Plucking beard. Plucking. Plucking. That could also be painful. He experienced this pain when he did not deserve it. He was sinless, yet he experienced this. So when he says, "It is finished," these things are not going to happen anymore. He's not going to endure this kind of pain anymore. We see that he experienced excruciating pain. It is not a pain where I've got pain, but I'm going to work. It is a pain that brings you down. It is a pain that shuts your heart. It is a pain that makes you think about it and not anything else. Well, he didn't just experience this excruciating pain. He also endured this pain. He endured this excruciating pain. To endure it, it means he did not give up. It means that he had to go all the way to the end with this pain. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When he says tetelestai, he means that the pain of all these things is over. Beloved, this pain was for you and me. This pain should have been experienced by you and me seated and standing in this hall today. This pain should have been something that you are going to go through. This pain should have been on you and on me. We should have suffered, we should have cried, we should have been punished because of our sin. Yet, he endured this pain. Quickly, apart from the fact that we have seen that what he means is that the plan of salvation was completed, that the pain of redemption was completed, we also see that the payment of redemption was finished. He had paid it all. Do you remember we sang this at the beginning or just before the preaching? Jesus paid it all. The payment of redemption was finished. He has done the payment. He has fulfilled this payment, so to speak. And how did he do this? Number one, by bearing our sins and taking our place, bearing our sins. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, all the sins of the believer were transferred to him. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us.
And we see here that he is not putting the sin in the body, as it were. He has laid all our sins on his shoulders. He is bearing the sins of many. That's how he paid, by bearing the sins. He did not just bear the sins, but all the sins. And mark the word, all the sins. In other words, by bearing all the sins, meaning paying it in full. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He did this by bearing all our sins and taking our place. But secondly, he did this by dying on the cross. The death on the cross was the culmination, or should we say, was the climax of the work of redemption. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Hebrews 9 and verse 15, "For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Beloved friends, all we are saying is this: the payment was made in full. God was satisfied with the payment which was made. And when Christ is saying it is finished, indeed he's saying God is satisfied with this payment. It is finished. The God of heaven is satisfied. And this payment signifies the following: the end of our sins. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, all because of what Christ has done. This signifies that man now has the freedom from the power of sin and death. This signifies also that our salvation comes to us purely on the basis of simple faith. Beloved, no more payment is demanded of us, because the Lord Jesus Christ did it. And when he says it is finished, it means that there is nothing to pay. Nothing to pay for our salvation. There is nothing more to add. It has been completed. The payment is finished. Since Jesus satisfied the Father, I do not have to come with my own way of satisfying the Father. I have to rest in Christ and in him alone, who has done the redemptive work, who suffered. It is finished. Beloved, it is completed. It is finished. No more to pay. And when I use the word "it is finished," I also want to just imagine those of you who watch football, other games, when the referee blows the whistle, prrr, that's the end of the game. The winner has been declared. The cup will be given to them. No matter how you take the ball and hit the net so many times, you are just alone. No one will even look at you. The transmission will have been closed. It is finished. And this is what I'm trying to say to you. No more payment, no more what. He says it is finished. Therefore, beloved brethren, as we close, we see that he means that the plan of redemption was finished. He means that the pain of redemption was finished. He means that Lastly, even the payment of redemption was finished. But we need to conclude in this way and seek to ask important questions before I make certain statements. The Lord would have died quietly. The Lord would have just died without saying, "It is finished." The Lord would have just given up the Spirit, given up the Ghost without uttering these words. But these words were uttered for the people to hear for themselves. And this is why this morning it is important that you must hear that it is finished. The Lord wanted you to hear on the 22nd of May in 2022 that you, who is not a Christian, must hear that the Lord says, "It is finished." He has paid the price for you. He has endured, or he endured this pain because of you, that he had to execute this painful plan because of you. And that this day you are blessed indeed, because you do not have to satisfy God with your giving, with your being good, and with your trying of this and that, but you simply have to come to Christ in faith. You simply have to come in repentance to him. You simply have to come and give your life to him, because he suffered on your behalf. You have to hear and know that Christ died for you. You have to believe that Christ did this for you. And you must come in repentance and accept him as your personal savior. Will you go home today, having thought about how painful it was for the Lord to redeem you, but you still go home the same? Oh, beloved Christian, you have become complacent in your Christian living, in your worshiping of your Redeemer, in your salvation. You are not remembering that you were bought at the cost. Painful it was for him. Beloved, all that this morning, the word of God, the call to come to him, may be as clear to you. And I pray that for those who have no Christ, you will have no peace until you come to him. And maybe we can say like the hymn writer, "My faith has found a resting place, not in a device or creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead." Amen.